the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. We're conquerors, but we're more than that. It's what the Word of God says. But Jesus won the victory for us over sin, over death, hell, the grave, sickness, disease, even over self. He won the victory over self. And the self-life, all that is pride and what I want, how I want it, when I want it. And there's really only one way to enter into his victory. And it's not by just saying I receive it. It's not just by singing a song about it. Accepting the knowledge of it. But there's only one way to enter into that victory, and it's by death. The death of self. That crucifixion of that self-life. And that we become true bond slaves, bond servants of the Lord. That's a slave by choice. Not by force, coercion, punishment. It's being a slave by choice. That's really the only place I know of the word talks about where true freedom, true liberty, true victory is found. So let's enter into that victory. So you can't, we sing a song about that same power. Man, that was a powerful song. The same power that's in Christ. The same power that rose him from the dead. If you're born again and filled with the Spirit, you got the same power. It's not a different one. It's not a lower level. It's the exact same power. But to really experience that resurrected power, you have to die. Praise God. Well, you all could be seated. My wife made me some homemade peanut clusters yesterday. And no. Not only no, but heck no. You know why I eat peanut clusters? Because I like them. Amen. And I'll raise it on that. I love them. I love peanut clusters. I love salty potato chips, and I eat them because I like them. Yeah. Somehow my bodily systems break them down into organic matter. So that word organic is in there. Don't post that one on Facebook. I think I left my water back there. No, here it is. Yeah. That makes sense, right? You know, there's a lot of things. I don't know. When you're singing like we were just doing and you're praising God, and does this ever happen to you? The Lord just starts speaking to you or showing you stuff that sometimes seems to be a little awkward, or you know what I mean? Like a little different, or like, why are you showing me this in the middle of that? You know, does that happen to you? Kind of showing you stuff. And, well, it happens to me quite often, actually, just about every Sunday that we get together. And you know, when we gather together, I generally try to be sensitive to the uniqueness of what the Spirit of God is saying and doing or wants to say or wants to do. And I don't always know what that is. But I try to be and training myself more and more to be sensitive to what he's wanting. Because every time we get together, it's unique. Every time, every day, every moment, it's a unique time in history. And the Lord, he is, if we're just aware, I think one of our biggest things is we're just not aware of the Spirit of God and the Lord's presence moment to moment enough. Because he's actually a whole lot of fun, and he's courageous. He does some different stuff from time to time, and as we're following him. And he loves to show us things just on a personal thing, just between our heart and his heart, and just relate and carry on relationship. And that's not unique to ministers or people that have been walking with the Lord 30 years plus. It's unique to every one of us. We can have as much as of the Lord and as much of a relationship with him as we really want to. He does not force himself on us. He doesn't force time with us. But he is always there, and he's always available for us to talk. He's a brother that he sticks closer than a brother. He's just, I don't even know, you know, I think about this from time to time too. It scares me to even think what life would be like without the Lord. I mean, it really does. It just, even as I just said that, it feels like the hair on my back of my neck and my arms are standing up of what that might feel like and how many people in our city and in our nation are living without the Lord and are struggling with so many different things, just struggling with life and not really knowing what that love is and what that kind of relationship is. And our world needs to see it on us. They need to see it in us. They need to see it on us. Doesn't mean that we have to go around preaching the gospel and carrying a Bible, but that we're showing them Christ by who we are and how we talk and the things that are important to him or important to us, and we're just manifesting kingdom in whatever ways, big and small, that might be. But so often, one of the things the Lord was showing me this morning was how often we just kind of do the things we want to do. One of the things I've learned, and I learned it a long time ago, but I've learned as I grew and I aged, is everybody, when it comes down to it, they really do what they want to do. They really do. We will make time. We may use an excuse, we're too busy for thus and so, but if we want to do something, we'll make time for it. We may use excuses, we don't have the money, the resources, the finances, but when it comes to something we really want, we will find the way. We're really pretty resourceful in that manner, even in our without the Lord. And when it comes down to bottom line that we do what we really want to do, you know, that's not being a disciple. That's not being a disciplined one. See, those who are disciples, those who are disciplined ones in the way of the Lord, as they are maturing in Christ, know that they don't always get to do what they want. They don't always get to do what they like to do. They don't always get to do what's the most easiest thing to do. And they realize, too, that they don't always have a choice in the matter. God says this way. We have the choice whether to do it or not, but if we're true bond servants of the Lord and we're true disciples, then it's really not a choice. See, when Jesus prayed in the garden, the night he was, just before he was arrested, he asked the Lord if there's another way. He didn't say, I'm not going to do this at all. Thank God for that. He said, but if there's another way, if there is another way to accomplish this. Because see, his heart, like our heart is to be, is to really be already made up that we're going to do, we're going to be, and we're going to do, and we're going to say, whatever God is leading us to. But Jesus just said, is there another way? And we know the story that God didn't respond. There's no other way. There was no other way. It had to be this way. It had to be the cross. It had to be crucifixion. And though Jesus said, please take that cup, that way from me. But when there was no response, because he's already made the decision, not my will, but yours be done. And sometimes those heart decisions and that heart posture before the Lord of being completely and totally dead to self and alive to him and being a bond servant, which again means being a slave by choice. God doesn't hold you captive against your will. And that love relationship between father and son, or us and our daddy, is what motivates and causes us to do, to drink the cup, whatever that might be, that he's handed us. See, that's becoming a mature son or daughter in the house. As parents, those of you that have had kids, and every one of you have been a kid at one time or another, so you can identify that in human nature, we see the selfishness and we see the pride and we see all of the anger, all of those things in the human nature because of the sin that has crept in to corrupt humanity. And part of being a parent and raising is working all of that out. To developing sons and daughters, children. To be disciplined to some degree. And to function in society. Right? I mean, you can word it different ways. But. And when we become born again, that's the Lord's purpose in our heart, is to create in us, because all of the potential, when we're born again, the seed, that potential, all potential's in a seed. But the Bible even tells us, unless what? It dies. But that potential, when he breathes on us in that born again experience and gives us a brand new spirit, all of the potential of Christ's likeness is there. We don't have to get it anywhere. It's not like it's out here somewhere. Potential is already there. It's in the heart. It's in the spirit, the new spirit of the born again man or woman. Paul worded it this way, I labor until Christ is formed in you. That's really the goal for every one of us as individuals. That if we commit our heart and our life to the Lord and we're born again, the goal is to become Christ-like. Our purpose is to become Christ-like. Which means to grow up into him. Grow up into the head, the Bible says. To become mature. To do the things that we may not want to do all the time. To do the things we may not even like all of the time. But because we've made a decision that we're going to be a bond slave, a servant, a slave by choice. Because it's not our will. We know that we're dead. We've crucified. We've given our lives completely and totally over. This is huge, what I just talked about. I mean, it's just huge. It's monumental. It's life-changing, world-changing, people-changing completely. It's even monumental in the body of Christ. Because too much of what I see around me is, and I'm not just talking about here, is people just doing what they want to do when they want to do it. And tagging God along with that and carrying Bibles and praying and going to church and raising hands. And yeah. Absolutely. That's a good one. The path is narrow. And I don't want anybody here to take it that I'm standing apart from any of you. Because we're all in this together. I felt like the Lord was, and you know the Lord, he deals with me with things first. You know what I mean? Before I say them, it's like most of the things that I talk about, I don't know that I could say 100%, but at least I would definitely say most, over 90% are the things that he's dealing with me about. This whole topic about, you know, that we went on for weeks and weeks about our spiritual weapons and warfare and taking every thought captive, and that was stuff that God had been dealing with me. And that now talking about the Spirit of God and the baptism, I'm even learning some things now that I've never seen before. And it seems like that He's been doing that a lot with me. Like when I get into a particular topic, I'm starting to see some things. I mentioned this on Wednesday night, and we haven't got to this part yet, but just talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name. He's nameless. Holy Spirit is not his name. But he has many characteristics or many, functions. And one of them is helper. And something is happening on the inside of me with that that's never happened before. I'm becoming more and more aware, I think, of the Holy Spirit's presence with me and his purpose in just that one function of helping. See, a lot of religion and a lot of things, and I've heard, you know, messages speak, it almost comes across like, and we can take things many different ways. I can preach a message and then take a poll, and I can get all kinds of varieties, even just from the people that are here today, of what you actually heard. And I don't know how many times this has happened. People have come to me and say, I really like it when you said this, and I never even said it. But that's just the Spirit of God moving and speaking to different people about different things. Yeah, Jay. Yeah, go ahead. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, another reason, and we'll get into this some more and talk about it more in depth, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that how critical it really is to have him to help us to live as Jesus called us to live. God doesn't expect to do it on our own. Matter of fact, he knows, and we already know, should know, we can't do it on our own. That's impossible. And whatever he asks of us to do, to say, to speak, to go, it's the helper is always with us to provide us that help to get it accomplished and get it done. So, let's just choose to grow up. I don't know if there was another way to say it. I don't know. I mean, let's just choose to do that. You ever tired and you want to sit down and you hear the Lord speaking to you that he wants you to do something even though you're tired? So we don't make one choice for the Lord. We make many choices all day long. All day long. We don't, you know, when you, let me just use that illustration of maybe you're tired. That's a problem, by the way. Too many people are just too tired all of the time. That's a huge problem. Maybe we need to take a look at our diet and the things that we're eating, the rest that we're getting or not getting, or the things that we're doing. But see, you never really tap into the enabling power of God when you're led by your emotion. And I'm just going to stay with the one thing of being tired. When you're tired and God is wanting you and speaking to you to do something. I'll use the prayer in the garden again with Jesus. I mean, he wanted his guys to stay awake with him and pray with him. But what did they do? They were too tired. And they were sleeping. Jesus found them sleeping. So that's a problem. Always being too tired. You know, maybe you're just too busy. You're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. I think the Lord just spoke through that. I hope somebody heard that. You're just doing something that maybe you're wanting to do. It could be a hobby. It could be anything. But it's sapping your energy. You're just too tired. And when God's trying to get your attention to do something else for kingdom, you're too tired to do it. But here, you know, I have found this to be true. It's the word, and plus I've experienced it to be true. When the Lord speaks to you, and I'm sticking with the tiredness, and you're just so tired. I just an illustration came to mind. This was years ago. I was still a youth pastor, and we were taking a couple trips, missions trips a year. To Nicaragua, to Honduras, and so I was leading a couple of those trips, and there was one trip it was in Nicaragua, and I don't remember what led up to this, but I was exhausted. I was so tired. I actually fell asleep in church. That's just horrible, isn't it? Well, let me tell you, I was supposed to speak. And I've got a team, and you know, as a leader, you know, you're an example to your team. And I nodded. That's the word. Nodded and nosed and dived. I nodded off, and I don't think I was completely out, but I was like in that space. You know what I mean? That ozone kind of space. That it's not going to be much longer, and nobody's going to be home. And those of you that know Barb Johnson from Nicaragua, she was up talking and introducing the whole team, and then she introduced me to speak. And I remember hearing my voice. And it just like, you ever kind of come out of something, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm in Nicaragua, I'm in a church service, and I'm, you know what I mean? It's like the realization of where you're at and what you're supposed to be doing. Has anybody ever had that before? It's like, oh my gosh. Oh, hello. Yeah. And I was like, well, what are you going to do? I'm too tired. No, he's like, yeah, peanut clusters. I didn't have any peanut clusters on me. And so it shocked me when I heard my voice and stuff, and it was like, oh, yeah. And then I was like, I got up, and I was like, oh, man, I'm still kind of like a little bit out of it, and I'm walking up, and I'm like, oh, dear Lord, what am I even going to say? And I said all that to say that even when it's things we don't want to do, we're too tired, maybe we won't like to do it, that when we do and we respond to the Lord in that moment is some of the moments that I have sensed the greatest grace. And that grace came because I was just being faithful. I mean, here's tired, sleepy Joe, I have nothing to say, walking up to the front, thinking, dear Lord. And I don't remember what I said. I don't remember if it was good or bad. I really don't. But I remember there was an adult man on our team, and he came to me and he said, "I've never heard you preach so powerfully before." He said, "That was amazing," because he said, "I saw you sleeping." See, we need to grow up and enter into that, really, that supernatural living where we're not just talking about grace, but we're experiencing a higher level of faith, a higher level of grace, of his enabling power to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Exactly. Because I really sense the potential of miracles and signs and wonders are not about to be released. Meaning that it's up to God. That it's about to be released depending on you, depending on me. Because we're going to have to potentially look like a fool to move in some of these supernatural gifts and miracles and power. And honestly, I think at least a big part of it, it's not only faith of just trusting God with what we hear and moving out and speaking and saying and doing what we're hearing, but it's also a level of maturity of not being so led by our emotions and doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it, and what we think it might look like or should look like. You see, the Lord works with us from day one when we're born again to create in us Christ-likeness in our character. Character is the greatest spiritual weapons and defenses and armor. Matter of fact, if you read in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, and just look at those and relate those to character traits, because that's really what they are. They're character traits. It's not just some piece of metal that we add on or a piece of leather we wrap around our waist. They're character traits. And it's our greatest spiritual weapons and defense. See, when we become faithful, matter of fact, you know, in any relationship, a level of trust is required. I don't have relationships with people I don't trust. I don't know about you. I would assume you're probably a lot like me. You don't want relationships you can't trust. See, there's perverted relationships out there that people will use people to get what they want. They can't trust them, but they're using them. That's a whole other perverted level of relationship. But I'm talking about relationship in the kingdom. And I want to be the kind of person that God can say, "I can trust Joe." That's what I want, to be that person. That I can trust him. I want you to be that kind of person that is so trustworthy and so faithful. Because it's the faithful people and the trust, the people that are trustworthy, are the people that God just unleashes stuff on. He just gives them so much stuff. See, if we're not faithful with $100, he's not going to dump all kinds of money in our way. If we're not going to be faithful with a little, that's what the Bible says. If we're faithful with a little of anything, it could be money, talent, ability. It could be being faithful with a little bit of the word that you know. Being faithful with the relationships, being faithful, whatever it might be, faithful to your commitments, faithful at your job. And the Lord does test us in these things. He's not withholding But he does require a certain level of maturity and growth before he can unleash some things. He can just allow us. You don't give, you know, your four-year-old an AK-47 fully loaded. Automatic rifle. Assault rifle. Or even a BB gun. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I didn't intend to say any of that. I had more on the Holy Spirit. But we're out of time. Yeah. We have some announcements that we need to talk about, too. And I want to remind everybody that the Kansas City Bible Experience, which is the reading through the New Testament in 40 days, 8 weeks, is coming up soon, a couple weeks from today, or tomorrow actually, 2 weeks from tomorrow, February 29th on Leap Day. If you have not yet and you would like to be part of this, we do have a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer that you could put your name on. And then also, if you're still needing a Bible or Bibles for your group, you can see Anna about those, okay? So if you need the Bibles, we have those in the office. And then Bruce and Deborah had just an incredible idea that I'm going to have Deborah, if you don't mind, or both of you if you want to come or whoever, and talk about this. Just to remind everybody, we're continuing to raise funds for the Jula Language Project. We have now, because another church, I believe it was the one in California, donated some money. So we are like $100 and some just underneath $20,000 raised so far. So we are over halfway. That's awesome. That's incredible. So we don't have that much more to go. You can come on up. And but Deborah had a great idea to help raise funds for this Jula Language Project. Yes,
we
amen.
We have to have that to get the transformation.
Yes.
Into the kingdom. And so he had me to stamp out their name onto bracelets, and the bracelets are in the color of their nation's colors. And the orange is for their grasslands. This is their flag colors is what it is. And the white is for the rivers and the Ivory Coast, and then their green is for forest lands, which I had no clue they had for us, but I went on to the internet and checked it out. But you know, when you wear something like this and you look at it, people ask you about it, and then it gives you an opportunity. You never know when somebody might give you a gift to put toward this project. And we just gave money, you know, but we're not finished yet.
That's right. Amen.
But so when you know, these for a donation of $20, you get one of these. They have Jula on them. And when you see the name, pray for them.
Yes.
And when somebody asks you, what's Jula? Well, you can tell them. And they may give you a donation, but really the most important thing is that we pray. Because that's how the kingdom works.
That's right.
There's 18 left, and there's 20, you know, donation of $20, you get a bracelet. I have different sizes, and then I've left
That's awesome, man. Man, that's awesome. Great. Thank you so much. Really, that's wonderful. Yeah, Renee. Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, honestly, it's tax deductible. Okay,
yeah.
Let's just say it. Some people need that motivation as well, but this is a worthy cause. So I just want to encourage you guys that it was really neat that, you know, this one friend of mine and her husband said, yeah, we want to partner with what you're doing on this because we believe in this. And a lot of people believe in this, but they don't know about it. If they don't know about it, then they can't come and join alongside with this.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's great. Awesome. Thank you, wife. Isn't she beautiful? Inside and out. Also, out here in the hallway, we have some things on a table out there. Why don't you, Candy, can you come up and tell us what's that all about there? Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Candy. Thank you. And it's one per family, right, that you have out there? Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for that very much. That's weird. I'll share you some of mine with you. Let's not go to that extent. I'm not going to give you all mine, but we'll share. No, I'm just kidding. I did want to make a comment about this as well. Most of you, if you've been watching the news yesterday and saw that Justice Antonin Scalia passed away yesterday. For those of you that don't really follow the news or even politics or specifically the Supreme Court. I didn't know him obviously, but I've read some of the things that he has written in the past, some of the just real critical responses that he's made when it came to Obamacare, when it came to homosexual marriage and his stances. This guy, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan in 1986. This would have been his 30th year. He was 79 years old, died in his sleep. So it leaves a vacancy on the Supreme Court. And pretty much the Supreme Court is divided right down the line right now. There's basically four liberals on it and four conservatives. But you never know which way Justice Kennedy's going to go. And Antonin Scalia was really just a such, for me, my most important thing when it comes to government in the United States, if I can just say one most important thing, that's the Constitution to the United States. That is the absolute, I mean, that is the law of the land. Our president is not the law of the land, our Supreme Court, it's the Constitution of the United States, and it's been trampled on so much in these last 7 years. And he was probably the most, I don't know the word to even say it, but he was such a strict constitutionalist, and he was very vocal about it, and he voted that way. You know, his or rendered decisions based on the Constitution and not just the theological or their own what they're wanting to own agendas or things. So, and I know this is it's such a sad time for his family, for the country, and things. But this also is making this year and with our presidential election much, much more interesting. We. It's possible. I don't know how many for sure, but the next especially with his passing, the next president could be appointing up to four different Supreme Court justices. President Obama already came out and said that he is going to appoint or try to get somebody appointed. It has to pass the Senate. The Senate leaders have already said that they're going to wait until the next president, which would put. If that happened, it would put the Supreme Court without another justice for a year. And not much stuff would get done, but not much would get done with four on one side and four on the other, split right down the middle. So this is an interesting situation we have here. And I brought that up not only just for prayer. I just think the whole thing's just bizarre. I mean, his death, who it was, where we're at in history, it's just a... It's a very interesting thing that just happened in our country, and as most of you know, it's our country is really teetering, and has been. But I guess I just want to say this before we leave today is, again, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I don't know, I can't really say this enough. We have to be. When it comes to our political system, our voting for the next president, we really, really have to be led by the Spirit of God. It cannot. I don't think this election can be one of those where we put our favorites on a piece of paper and put all the things we like about them on one side and the things we don't and pick the best. I really, really believe we're going to have to hear strategically from the Spirit of God. One of the things Christians like to do is vote for another Christian that for president, and that's going to be very dangerous. And I just want to remind everybody, I think most of you here were alive. Jimmy Carter was one of the worst presidents of my lifetime. And he was a Christian and a Sunday school teacher, but he was one of the worst presidents. A Christian does not make a good president. So it doesn't, and I'm not saying one thing or the other, you know, about candidates, because for me personally, the most absolute most important thing, I have two things that are almost tied together, but the absolute most important thing is the Constitution. And electing anybody, whether it's in the Senate, the House or the Senate in Congress, or if it's a president, or if it's a Supreme Court justice, or an appellate court justice, or city government, anywhere, that they know the rule of law. That they don't only know it, because our president now knows it, and he taught it, but they have the character to live according to it and abide by it, regardless of how they feel, think, or their personal agendas. Because none of us, I don't think there's anybody in this room that would want to go to a church that has a pastor that does not know the Word of God. I mean, am I going out on a limb by that, or am I? No, you probably wouldn't. You wouldn't want to listen to messages that are not scripturally based. To me, it's just that important when it comes to the Constitution. If there are people that don't know it, and they're not going to abide by it, or even know how it functions or works. I mean, we have to have leadership in the kingdom of God on earth, leadership in the body of Christ that knows the Word of God, that knows how the kingdom of heaven functions and function within it, for it to be manifest and be spread. And I'm just that strongly about our government. We have to have that. But too many, they just want to jump and vote for, oh, he's a Christian. And then others using the term Christian to get votes. This is a perverted and a sick thing. We have got to hear from the Spirit of God. This with Scalia passing away and the gaping hole in the Supreme Court now, it's even that much more critical. And this is, you know, Supreme Court justices are lifetime appointments. President Obama successful in getting another liberal justice in there. We're not talking for the next year, 2 years, 5 years. If they're young enough, this could be 35, 40 years. We're talking about your kids and your grandkids are going to be under this system. That's how important this really is. We need to be engaged. We need to help others be engaged. And we need to hear from the Lord on this. Are you guys with me on that? Or is that too much, too strong? That we're really on board with what the Lord is wanting to do for this nation and as well as the kingdom. Amen. Thank you for being who you are and for your love for the Lord. Father, I thank you, God, for who you are, for being such a loving daddy to us, a father to the fatherless, even a father to the fathered. You are so, so very good. God, I pray that everybody here would know deep within their heart and their spirit of how good you really are, how much you really, really do love, care, and are passionate, affectionate for every human being, that you can see and look past behavior and attitudes and see the worth and the value of the human being. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, just like you do, Father. May they be perfect images of just like you see, just like you hear. Amen. Well, families, go get your goodies out there in the hallway.